Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased to bring you our radio program. And certainly, we appreciate the continued support that so many of you have given us. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience these past 5 years. We've been broadcasting live and in living color to you, and certainly we again are, you know, just very, very honored to do so. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight's program is one that we feel pretty good about. For those who do not know, there has been somewhat of a victory in regard to the situation regarding an artist known as Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, of course, for whatever reason, decided to try to make somewhat of a mockery, I guess you could say, but if not a mockery, certainly an inappropriate kind of lyric that he put into one of his songs or one of his raps, whatever you want to call it, and as such made reference to a woman's vagina and put that in the same context of Emmett Till. So the family, of course, has been pretty much really outraged, as many have been, and of course the African community, the black community, has in fact responded and responded nationwide in a way that really put Lil Wayne and Mountain Dew, which of course is a company that comes out of, or a product that comes out of, PepsiCo. And we did the research, or some of it, to really see what was going on with PepsiCo and found a lot of information, including some of the many, many products that they put out. But as it turns out, Lil Wayne did, in fact, put a statement out saying that he would no longer utilize the lyric in his performances, and the Till family felt that that was not sufficient and made a statement as such, and shortly thereafter, Mountain Dew dumped Lil Wayne. So now we see that when we say promote you to the shinda, together we shall win, well, here is somewhat of an example. Because surely that tour, which was designated for 50 states or 50 cities, certainly would have happened if the community, if our people had not stood up, had not shown not only some interest, but really be prepared for some other kinds of action. Now, you know, here at New Day, Resurrection, Liberation, we've been talking for the past few years about how artists have exploited, put exploitive lyrics and so forth in their songs, and particularly in the videos, too. And so, of course, we've also taken action against some of them and had continuously planned to do more. In fact, had already determined that this June we would begin launching boycotts against some of these people, their CDs, their clothing line, the record company that puts them out, and so forth and so on. So Mountain Dew knew they had something on their hands, and some of these other people got something on their hands as we proceed, because this is just the beginning. Now, very shortly, we're going to have joining us Sister Erica Taylor, who is the director of the Mamie Mobley, or Mamie Till Mobley Foundation. Of course, she's the niece of Mother Mamie Till. And she's going to be joining us along with a brother who I recently met and really liked his energy. This brother's name is Vigilante Truth. And he, too, is an artist, but of course, not anything like Lil Wayne. So we're going to talk to them tonight and get the update on what happened with Mountain Dew and what they are talking about in the future. Now, I have to say that I am personally a little disturbed by some of the information that I recently received, because I've been down a road before where grassroots folks got involved, got, you know, prepared, was very serious about addressing things, and then these other people pop up. Now, from what I understand, they were kind of in the wings all along, and that may well be, but at the same time, we know that people who get corporate monies really need to be watched very carefully. And I'm going to elaborate on that a little later on as we go into the program, because I think it's very important that we discuss matters as openly and as realistically as possible to avoid future not only dilemmas but sellouts, okay? And that's usually what ends up happening in one way, shape, fashion, or form. So we want to kind of, you know, put folks on a aware mode as we proceed. Now, we're going to open up the chat room a little later on, because we really want to hear your comments. We weren't able to open it up last week, so we want to give you the questions that we wanted to have for last week. We had some problems with our boards last week. And by the way, we were supposed to have on Dr. John Johnson, of course, the father of Private First Class Lavina Johnson, who was killed, murdered, and raped while serving in the Army in Iraq in 2005. And, you know, we were really looking forward to having Dr. Johnson on, and he, too, was looking forward to coming on. And as we suspected, when he called in, he couldn't get through. So remember last week I was saying how we were having some problems with our boards, and it just seemed like some real strange stuff was going on. Well, he finally did contact us a couple of days later and said that he was trying to get on several times and kept getting this message that it was a wrong number and some other stuff. So we know that that is what happened. So we also tell you tonight, as we're talking, if for some other reason we should get disconnected or disrupted or whatever, usually we're able to get back on within a few minutes. Usually we're able to work out whatever the problems is they try to put in on us. So if that should happen, please, you know, just call back in or log back on, because we usually are able to get back in. So again, we're going to be talking with Sister Erica Taylor shortly and Brother Vilanchi. I have something on my mind that I really need to get out at some point, but I'm going to wait and get that out a little later. But the brother's name is Vigilante Truth. So we're going to talk with them very shortly. And we're going to also talk with a sister, an elder. Her name is Sister Katie Fulton. And she resides in Colorado. She called the other day. And remember, the Million Woman Movement has now several units, several components, particularly that's geared to our women and girls to help them directly. We know the experiences that we have. We know our culture. We know the various different aspects of us as a people. So it is now, you know, up to our women to address the issues that are relevant to our women, and to do it in a way and on a level that really makes sense. And so this is what the Million Woman Movement is about, and this is what we've been doing and what we will continue to do. With that said, Sister Fulton called in, called us and indicated that, you know, there was a problem that she was having, that she had been targeted because she had been an activist in previous years and vocal and, you know, had done various things. And as a result, now her son has been incarcerated, and that there seems to be some irregularities as to how all of this is now being processed. Meaning they haven't given them a lawyer yet. They've held them already, I guess, for over a week. You know, various other kinds of things. So, again, we're going to hear from Sister Katie Fulton a little later on tonight as well. Okay, before we go to our live line and talk with Sister Erica and Brother Vigilante Truth, we want to also remind you that, of course, we learned the other day that the United States government has placed our sister, Sada Shakur, on the terrorist list and, of course, the most wanted list. This is a very dangerous thing, needless to say, and we need to be very watchful and very prayerful as to, you know, what we know is really now a upgraded effort. You know, they know that the average American is kind of feeling away about Boston, and now, you know, they feel they can just do certain things and will have major support from, you know, from most of the citizenry. So, you know, we know some of the games that are played, and again, we need to be very, very watchful as to what's going on. So, with that said, we want to remind you of our dear sister. We want to continue to stay hands off of Sada. We're going to talk a little more about that towards the end of the show, or the end of the program, because needless to say, there is an upcoming trip to Cuba that our brothers and sisters from the African Awareness Association is sponsoring. So we're going to tell you a little bit about that, as well as ALD that's coming up in Washington, D.C. This month. We're going to give you some more information about that, too. But in the meantime, Sister Asada Shakur.
He's also my lawyer. Finally got a court order coming to see me, and since I could not tell her the extent of what was happening, I told her, please do something, because I was accused of killing a New Jersey state trooper, and New Jersey state troopers were quote-unquote guarding me, and guarding me consisted at that time of sticking things into my wounds, putting powder in my eyes that blinded me, and saying that if I did not tell them what they wanted to know, I would never see again, and some other things that I just never talked about. I don't really want to get into that now because it will make me remember too vividly that period. But anyway, based on demonstrations outside of the hospital, I was transferred to another hospital, and the New Jersey State Trooper was replaced by some other guards. They weren't much better, but at least they did not attack me physically. I altogether spent 6.5 years in prison. I was accused of many things. I was acquitted on all charges except for the New Jersey charge, which is the matter of the case of aiding and abetting in the murder of a New Jersey state trooper. I was tried by an all-white jury in a county where more than 70% of the people based on a jury process study were already prejudiced and thought I was guilty. This was a meeting, thing, and I'm actually ashamed that he was participating in that and just saying to myself, so you'll do whatever you want for the wellness trial. It was a lengthy. I was sentenced to life plus 30 years, plus 30 days. I spent more than 2.5 years in solitary confinement in many prisons. And in 1979, with the help of many people, many of my comrades, I was able to escape from prison, and there was no other possible alternative. There was no such thing as an appeal. My aunt was very frustrated. She was doing the appeal, and part of the transcript disappeared, the evidence disappeared, and so there was no such thing, no such possibility of
Indeed. You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Mrs. Chi, and we've been just listening to, of course, none other than Queen Mother, Asada Shakur. Just want to remind you of some of the things that happened to her. We hear, of course, that she's now most wanted by the FBI, by the United States government, but we do not ever hear about the atrocities that were placed upon her. And some of what she indicated was really just a little bit, to say the least, of what really went down. So, again, we're going to be giving some additional information as we proceed. And at the moment, we are waiting for, let's see, Sister Erica, and also for Brother Vigilante to call in. Brother Vigilante, if you haven't been advised, you need to push 1 in order for us to know that you are in the queue. We had some difficulties last week and wasn't able to see the board very clearly, so hopefully we will not have that problem tonight. Okay, while we're waiting for our guests to call in, okay, I think we do have Brother Vigilante joining us. Also remember, Sister Erica, we need for you to do the same as well. We're going to get ready to go to our live line, I believe, and joining us is going to be Brother Vigilante Truth, who indicated he and I met via telephone conference call a few days ago. I was really feeling the brother's energy and wisdom that he was picking out. You know, it's just always wonderful to hear when our artists speak truth to power and are not caught up in this system and what it tends to want to have us to do, you know, in terms of this little puppetry and things of that nature. So, again, we're going to talk about Mountain Dew dumping Lil Wayne. And that we need to proceed. It is indeed a new day. We cannot continue to allow anyone, white, black, polka dot, or anything else, to continue to disrespect our women, our girls, and to dishonor our people, our historical icons, our people who have made contributions. And we need to also be watchful of the poverty pimps, for the corporate hustlers. And I'm just going to leave it at that for the moment. Anyway, let's go to our live line. And I think, wait a minute. I thought we had Brother Vigilante joining us, but I'm not seeing him now. So, I think I see you now. All right, we're going to try this. I hope, Brother, you're at 4031. And if so, and we got you, Brother Vigilante. Are you with us?
Yep. I'm in the building. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Very good. Thank you for taking the time to join in with us tonight. We certainly appreciate that.
No problem.
All right. So we're waiting for Sister Erica to call in. But in the meantime, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, Vigilante Truth, but, you know, normally Vigilante is spelled V-I-G-A-L-A-N-T-E-E. I'm just an activist in the community. I'm originally from Southside Chicago. I live in Kansas City now and got programs at Kansas City, Kansas Community College where I help young men get back on the path of going to school or finding some type of trade. It's called Fringe Benefit of Education. And I've been an MC for years, just doing music and doing conscious music and trying to wake up the unconscious people. But you know how that goes.
Yes, indeed. All right. So now, from what I understand, you've worked with quite a few known artists.
Yeah, I've worked with a few. I've interviewed a lot, artists, because I work for Your Black World, too, and The Reason for Rhymes. So, you know, I try to get it in with, a lot of MCs. And, but right now, once I made my change to do conscious music, I created a movement called the No Jangle Movement, like No Jangle.
Mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. and what it stands for. It's never compromise who you are. You don't have to be ignorant to be successful, respecting and recognizing those that walk before you.
All right.
And those our ancestors that walked before us, and I think that we're in the hip hop. It needs to be a revolution. You know, my album that's coming out at the end of the month is called Black Revolution Inside Out, because in other words, you can bring a revolution outside if you clean it up inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's it.
Right.
Just want to do right for people. And Emmett Till has always been something close to my heart, because it's a brother out of Kansas City by the name of Alvin Sykes, who helped, you know, push to get that Till bill passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right before Bush got out, Bush actually signed the Till bill. And like I say, Erica, you know, is a sister of mine who's out here doing what she needs to do, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to do anything I could to voice my opinion about Wayne. I took a few jabs at him, you know,
mm-hmm.
something light, though. I didn't really go hard on him. I wanted him to apologize. I think that we're getting to a point where, I mean, if we don't start, you know, checking people, if Emmett Till, if you can mess with Emmett Till and put him in lines like that, then there's no more line for blacks. That's it.
That's right. We're done.
Because like I tell people, if you had said something like something heinous like that about JonBenet Ramsey, or said something about some anti-Semitic, man, he would have been out of here within seconds.
That's right.
It would have been 3 months. You know, they would have got him out of here. So we got to let people know that, you know, our people matter too. And I think Emmett Till definitely matters. The spark of, you know, the civil rights movement, it definitely matters. And I think that, you know, the family has been through a lot, and, you know, just have something like that. I can't imagine if that could have been just my family, somebody in my family. You make a line like that, you know, we got to do better, man. We got to do better, because it's black-on-black crime at its finest.
That's right, no doubt. Now, again, while we're waiting for Sister Erica to call in, Sister Erica, if you are in queue, I need you to press 1 so that I can identify you. Again, before we do that, let's, Brother Vigilante, tell folks a little bit about the bill you were talking about, the Till bill, because I'm sure there are people who have never heard of that.
Well, the Till bill is basically the gist of it. It's a real complicated bill, but the bill that were basically, in the name of Emmett Till, they would go back and look at the cold cases from, I think, 1955 to 1970. Not only from Emmett Till's case, but other people that got lynched, and these cases sit cold, and wanted to find, you know, at least investigate to find out if there was anybody still living that they could prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're 70 or 80, 90, you don't did some dirt, watch out.
Okay, great.
You know, so,
great.
And now they're working on trying to get the Till bill to pass so that this can continue, so they can keep a budget to go open up these cold cases for other cases, because, you know, lynching is still going on.
And, oh, listen, we just did a program like maybe a month or so ago. We had 2 reported lynchings near Philadelphia. It's an area called Delaware.
Okay.
And we had a brother on who did the research and the reporting on it. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's definitely going on.
Yep, so we got to be careful. And the thing is, we just got to bring our balance back. I think that we've become comfortably numb in our movement of, you know, progressing our people and somewhat compromised. So I think that it's time to get back. Other cultures, you know, love that, you know, like you got Cinco de Mayo just tomorrow, and, you know, you see them celebrating their culture, but, you know, when it comes to our culture, we're indifferent about it, and that's a shame.
That's right. That's right. All right, my brother, we'll hold that thought for a moment.
Okay.
I think we do have Sister Erica in queue, and we're going to bring her in so that we can really talk about, I think it's a victory and certainly a first step in addressing this issue of exploitation that we see now so regularly and have seen for quite a while. And I'm just, you know, feel so blessed to see the day finally come where we can begin to address it and see some results, you know, because they've been doing this for quite a while. You see these videos, and any time
time you can go through the black community almost anywhere in this country and see little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old girls start doing certain kind of gyrations and dances. And then you got people standing there looking at them going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm like, wow, they have really sunk. But, again, the videos have helped to push that kind of behavior, and now we have adults thinking it's cute to have these little girls, you know, moving their bodies in a certain kind of way that is just not cute at all. It's very suggestive, and certainly it creates a mindset that in the future is going to be very detrimental to all of us. But at any rate, let's go to our live line again, and I think we do have Sister Erica with us. Sister Erica, do we have you on the line?
Yes, sis. How you doing this evening?
All right. Wonderful. Good thanks. Wow.
I've been
listening
from the very beginning, pushing one like crazy, like, I'm here.
Okay. And see, again, it didn't pop up until just a few moments ago.
Okay.
But we're glad to have you through, because these past couple of weeks, our programs have been pretty hot. So it seems like technology has been kind of messed with a little bit, but, you know, we tend to deal with it either way.
Right, right. I think it's a conspiracy against all those in the movement right now.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, something's going on. It's all good. You know,
yes.
Our ancestors have shown us that no matter what they try to do to us, we're going to still rise above it all.
That's right. We're not going to let nobody turn us around.
You got that right. So, sister, give us this update and report because, you know, this is such wonderful news.
Well, we were really surprised when we heard the news yesterday. We were pleased, but you
mm-hmm.
have to realize it's really a bittersweet victory.
Right.
You know, I'm pleased about it. I commend Mountain Dew and Pepsi. I commend Pepsi for taking a stand. You know, they answered the call. They received a lot of criticism, you know, just
mm-hmm.
you know, doing research and paying attention to the trending responses to it. But, you know, they have made a step. You know, Reebok took a step. Now you have Pepsi that's taking a step. Reebok with Rick Ross. You know, now you have Pepsi with
right.
Lil Wayne.
And mm-hmm.
the thing is, you know, people are like, well, and even my cousin Wheeler, his first statement, you know, and his statement that he's put out in the press is they shouldn't have never signed Lil Wayne in the first place. You know, they need to scrutinize these artists before they decide they want
that's
to
right.
sign them for
that's
the
right. Sure.
And so, and my thing is, okay, enough criticism. They've taken a big step. And I think the most monumental aspect of this is that we did this. Our people
right.
stood together, and we did this. We didn't
right.
have to rely on other cultures or races to step in and speak for us. We spoke for ourselves. And they responded, and I really appreciate and commend them for that, you know, because I feel like they didn't have to do that. They could have just, you know, they could be doing what Lil Wayne is doing. He's yet remained silent, you know, even though, you know, that public statement was put out. In my heart, I just don't believe that that was written by Lil Wayne. I think that they felt that they had to do something because they were probably receiving pressure from Pepsi and others, you know, for him to speak out or to say something. But the way the letter was drafted, it was very precise. It was not an apology. It was an acknowledgement and a vow. There was
mm-hmm.
nothing about that. There was nothing about that statement that resembles or even hinted around to an apology. You know,
mm-hmm.
he acknowledged our pain. He acknowledged everything. So that's why it was very difficult to say, okay, we accept your apology. Thank you. As far as I'm concerned, Lil Wayne yet remains silent, and we probably will never hear from him. But I applaud the efforts of PepsiCo and Mountain Dew for taking a stand and breaking the silence in sort of in a corporate way. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're very surprised and very pleased.
Okay. Well, I have to kind of throw in my little spin on this because, you know, and I understand and appreciate, of course, the family's position and certainly support the family's position. You know, I've been in this movement now for a few years and have had the opportunity to learn from some of the giants and, you know, have had the ability to learn how to make assessments of things, at least I feel to a degree that, you know, really makes not only a difference but makes sense. And while I totally agree, my sister, they did the right thing, but I think it behooves our people to be very clear that these people don't do anything because they think it's the right thing. Now, 400, 500 years of history have shown that, without a doubt. So let me just say this, and I'm hopefully let you continue, and Brother Vigilante. And the reality is this, it's dollars and cents. And they would have lost potentially so much more money if they had continued, because they weren't sure how this thing was going to turn out, meaning if they had continued to pump money into Lil Wayne and produce those shows, those 50 cities, if, in fact, that got boycotted, they would have been out of a tremendous amount of money, tremendous. So to break out now and save face, they really save money. So I think we need to be, at least I need to be, real candid about the fact that, historically speaking, corporations have never complied to black folks, African people, unless there was a threat of them losing some money. Not because they felt morally obligated, not because they felt ethically obligated or responsible, but because they felt they would be risking too much money. Lil Wayne can be replaced. They create rappers every day. So technically, he can be replaced, and they put somebody else in whenever they're ready. So I really believe that the threat of a potential backlash where they would lose money through their products and their concerts, I personally feel that that's what really motivated them to think twice and drop the do on Lil Wayne. So we're going to open up the chat room in a few moments, folks, and you all can post your comments on that. Brother Vigilante, what's your spin? How do you assess this?
It's definitely a quagmire, but I look at it like this. It's really this for what Emmett. For the whole Emmett Till family. I definitely understand their position, and and then I look at Wayne. Now, if I just pull that microscope back a little further to see a bigger issue, we have to be careful that Wayne was an artist that it's already hard enough for black people to get endorsements, period. You know what I'm saying? Kind of even conscious rappers and or whatever to get an endorsement. Now he's taken off that PepsiCo. They did their thing making their step, and it could have been cost effective. But I'm looking at the symbolism of it and of the part that they set a precedence now. Now we can go in and, you know, demand some things on education towards the programs and things like that. If you're going to come in our communities and you know, sell your products, that, you know, you need to give back to the communities, give back, you know, to some foundations and educations to teach the teachers, because corporate America is a capitalistic society, so you're going to have that. But I think that for it to happen fast, you know, you're probably right on account of, you know, they did it for cost effect, but they did it. You know, other people, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a quagmire. It's definitely a catch-22, more so for the Emmett Till family as opposed to me and you. You know, I believe that the eye is still on the prize, is to continue this push. Continue pushing for respect of our history and respect of our people. Continue internalizing our people, because at the end of the day, Pepsi put Wayne out, but Wayne did this. Wayne made the reference to Emmett Till. I don't care if he was with BET or a black hair product. You know what I'm saying? He did this, and I think that we, and then he shows no remorse. I mean, this is Emmett Till. This is, you know, he showed no remorse. And these are the things that, for me as a rapper myself, when you mention Emmett Till, you already know what it is. And to put it within the context of, you know, sexual thing didn't make sense to me. And for Mountain Dew to push it didn't make sense. But then again, corporate America probably didn't have no idea. We just know here's this hot guy for the moment. As Ice Cube said, they'll have a new one next year. He's the new one now. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they, you know, so they had him, you know, and the big tour, America Most Wanted. And I think the Emmett Till family, you know, and the people that in the grassroots shut it down. As Chuck D said, shut it down. And we made a move. But the thing is, we have to do follow-up. And I think, and that's what happens in life follow-up. I just want to make sure that the Till family get their just due. No, you know, bandwagon, Johnny Come Lately comes in and steal what Erica and the family has been pushing for, education and helping out the inner city and, you know, in Chicago. I want to make sure that that gets taken care of more than anything else.
Mhm. And that will happen. There's no question. And we're going to get ready to go back to hear from Sister Erica in a minute. But I want to again kind of provide some clarity because number one, those corporations already do that anyway. They already put money in the community. Between Push, Operation Push, between the Action Network, between the NAACP, between what's the other Negro groups, they put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into those organizations annually and have for the past 25 years to sponsor education programs, youth-oriented, this and that and the other. So they was already doing that.
No. I'm not talking about like that, though. No. See, I ain't mean to interrupt because this is your show. But I will say this. I started a program at Kansas City Community College called Friends Benefit of Education. You had TRIO programs, all these corporate sponsored programs. I'm talking about actually touching real kids who got lights off, so and so. I understand these other programs. I'm not knocking out. I'm quite sure they're fabulous things. I'm talking about grassroots people like Emmett Till, the Emmett Till Foundation, and people that are on the ground. I'm talking about I want to change that structure, not just the corporate places. You know, I'm talking about really touching families. And I said it don't tell you, but you got to pay for staff and all that type of stuff and do it. Really does do that. We don't know. I
right.
know they've been giving
right.
money, but I won't. But I know
okay.
what Erica's doing is.
Okay, let me again just provide some clarity because I researched this stuff. And even though I named those major corporations.
Okay.
See, the 501c thing is such a popular thing in this day and age and has been for a few years now. It was primarily put into the black community to really divert real action.
Thank you.
Because it used to be where our people did things because we just knew we needed to do it. And when these other people saw the genuineness of that and the effect of that, they then began to steer people into becoming incorporated so they could get these money. So essentially all over the country in the black communities, you have a lot of wonderful groups. Don't get me wrong now. They're wonderful groups doing wonderful work.
Mm-hmm.
But see, once you get into a situation where you are depending on those monies to operate your thing.
Exactly.
The moment you go a little bit outside of the box, you're in trouble, and they will discontinue their funding. So as long as you're doing safe stuff and you ain't really, you know, too whatever, they'll keep you in the mix.
Oh, yeah. No, we ain't talking about no tap dancing and bojangling. You're right. what you're talking about is the NASCAR effect. You know, you got NASCAR, you got all these different sponsors. What, like some big corporation do to the basketball players? You wear this shoe, you wear that shoe, you stay with this shoe, and you do the AAUs and all that. I get you on that. But I just, you know, I just think that, like what you're saying, is other people that need to be involved besides, they're really going to do footwork. I'm talking about in the mindset of what the Panthers did back before they was disbanded, as in, you know, really helping out the neighborhoods and getting these drugs, getting these things out, you know, off the block and bringing peace back and unity. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, I'm going to hold on that because, again, that sounds real good, and I've seen people try to do that, but I see what comes out with that. But I'm going to go back to Erica, and then we're going to go to our live our line. We got a couple of folks that want to call in. Call us. Bear with me for just a few minutes. I'm going to bring you in. I just want to go back to Sister Erica for a minute because, again, I want to make it very clear that I applaud the Till family for, you know, remaining very vigilant, very steadfast, and making certain that this issue continued to be out in the forefront. Sister Erica, of course, has been the lead in that, but the whole family, you know, has been making certain that we, you know, kept updated and that they wouldn't back down. And so we're very honored and very proud of the family for doing that. It is unfortunate that it took this particular kind of situation to get people, you know, more mobilized or stimulated to begin to address the issue. But I think it's also important that while we talk about, of course, Emmett Till, we need to also put this in the context of the fact that what was Lil Wayne referencing? Because I'm not hearing many people even mention that.
Yep.
And I think that's a little bit, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, we need to stay focused. But once again, it seems that when it comes to the issue of black women, that gets pushed aside. Because I'm not hearing these other people even mention the fact that the context of what he put it in.
Yeah.
Was referencing a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
Eric, what do you think about that?
Well, let me first say that I don't know if you've seen all of the statements made by the family in response to Pepsi's decision to cut ties with Lil Wayne. But I want to read you Simeon Wright's quote. Now, Simeon Wright is my cousin who was an eyewitness account of Emmett Till's kidnapping. He was with him at the store when he whistled. Actually, it was his father that stood up in the courtroom and identified Emmett Till's kidnappers and murderers, J.W. Milam and Roy Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And Simeon stated, when I called him on yesterday to inform him of the victory, he said, first of all, I have to do Simeon. He did a long pause, sis. He was like, what? You know, that old time, like, past, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so he says, this is beyond my expectations. And he says, I'm pleased that it happened, and it shouldn't have had to wait for public outcry. Anything that belittles or degrades the memory of Emmett Till shouldn't be in the public square. Racism is still out there. Whatever you listen to, whatever you do, get an education. Don't let this system destroy you. Now, that was his. Wheeler, my other cousin, who had traveled from Chicago with Emmett Till to Mississippi, who was also an eyewitness that all the young boys were together at that time, his response when I told him was, it's mind-boggling to me that they partnered with him in the first place. Major corporations should scrutinize who they endorse. Don't let greed or money determine who you sponsor. Degradation is getting worse. You know, he said this is beyond what he said about Emmett Till. It's also about respect for women. Somebody needs to speak up for our women.
That's right.
And then, and you know, and as far as, you know, my statement was back in February when I first heard the lyrics, I was in utter shock, disappointment, and sadness. Just as Mamie Till Mobley didn't endure the pain of losing Emmett Till alone, many people, such as you and Vigilante, stood in solidarity with our family. And even if it wasn't the most popular stand to take, the road less traveled is surely not the easiest. But standing for your principles provides the endurance needed to fight for human and civil rights. This decision by PepsiCo is monumental, and we commended them, you know, that was my statement, for taking actions towards better social responsibility. And now me, Erica Gordon Taylor, feels that she can appeal. I now can appeal and focus on Mamie Till Mobley's charge. Let's get on with the business of positive thinking and living. And that's what we're doing now. And this, you know, this will allow us to progress forward to address the issues of women's rights, to address the other aspects of it. You know, we've been focused on, you know, gaining justice and restoring a positive light to Emmett Till's name and memory, but we have not forgotten the other part of that lyric, as well as the rest of his lyrics, you know. And so we stand with everyone and anybody who is fighting for the rights of our people, our women, our family, especially for our children. That is the most important part. And I once heard someone say, and this is amazing to me because I never put it into this perspective, but I heard someone say, you know, with all the gun violence and everything that's going on here in Chicago, they were saying when a young girl, you know, they weren't trivializing a young boy being murdered, but they were saying, but when you murder a young girl, you're killing a nation. And I felt, and I never looked at it that way, and I said, you know, that is a very profound statement, you know. Absolutely. And so we have to protect these little nations. And so, we have to protect these nations, and it starts with victories like this to say, hey, now they set a precedent. So rappers who want to get out here and rap, you know, irresponsibly about historical cultural icons and about our girls and our women, they're going to think twice about it because they're seeing that there's a trend going on. Now, there's a movement, sis. This is a movement. People are tired of it. You know, so we are yet, you know, we implement through programming whatever we can to support the efforts, you know, to uplift our people, uplift our children, uplift our girls, uplift our women. That's what we're doing, what we've always been doing.
All right, my sister, and I truly appreciate that, and I do understand. I definitely do. And again, I honor your position, the position of the family. As I've made it very clear to everyone and, you know, to people who know me, know my work, know what we do with the Men and Women Movement, our positions are a little different from most in that the fact of the matter is nothing has improved in this country when it comes to certain types of things happening to our people. And that really says that something different has to happen. The mere fact that you had Rokia Boyd in Chicago who was shot and killed by a police officer, she's 21 years old, but yet outside of Chicago, hardly anyone even heard anything about that. So,
well, now they've heard about it. They know about it now because of the injustice files. I'm actually good friends with Martinez, her brother. We've worked together.
I've had her on the show. I had him on the show a couple of times. Yeah. But I'm saying that for the most part, in most cities where black folks are, they have not heard of Rokia Boyd. But and especially in comparison to when we talk about a Jenna Six, where no one was killed, but you had thousands of people rally from a symbolic noose. You see, and again, we track these stories and these cases all over the country and can tell you that the response, particularly to our women and girls, is not the same. So I'm really saying again that something has to be different in the approaches to how we deal with some of these issues because it's not changing any. Well, that's it. We're going to go to one of our callers. Caller, we're going to start bringing some of our callers in and give your views and opinions on some of this. Caller, you're at 2005. We'd like to hear your comment or question.
Greetings, sis.
2005, and, greetings.
Greetings, family. Program tonight. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh, I hear you.
Yes, listening to the program tonight, and I just have a brief comment. First, to the family of Emmett Till, who's resting with the ancestors now, that we have to be mindful that the same cause that our families were involved in at the time of Emmett Till's death has not deceased. We're still involved in a war here in America, and the tactics have changed to degrade our people. Corporate America has never had our interests as a people at their hearts. So these mediums that are opening up for our young people and entrepreneurs and businessmen to enter into, we still have to honor our ancestors and who we are. I understand that Lil Wayne and many of the rappers are very degrading to our women. I like what Sister said about the Little Women, the Little Sisters, Little Nations. That kind of impacted my spirit, and I'm going to move on that. Keep that thought blowing through the community. No matter what their position is, if they deserve what they deserve it. And hopefully, a message is being sent to the rest of the aspiring rappers or musicians or artists or whatnot that this crossing the line and degrading our people and the efforts of our people and the causes of our people is not going to be tolerated, not just by corporate America. You know, we know corporate America is part of our enemies, but by the people that they're degrading, who are they supposed to be representing when they reach up a plateau like that? So I'm really proud of the victory that the Emmett Till family received, and hopefully that this will serve as a message that an awakening call and keep the momentum going. Peace and blessings.
All right, my brother. Thank you for your comments. We want everyone to know that the chat room is open, so if you would like to post your comment or something there, please feel free to do so. Okay. Sister Erica, did you have a response to the brother?
Well, first, I thank
you. Brother, I'm sorry. Brother, what was your name? Tell us your name, please.
My name is Brother Andrew, living in Philly, from Los Angeles.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for your sentiments. We appreciate it as a family. I appreciate it personally. It's been a very, very exhausting journey for the last few months. One of the things that was mentioned when I called to share, brother, with my family, the victory, because they're not social media people, so they didn't know. One of the things that was being said is they were prepared to thank me for what I did. They said, "This Erica," and it's never been just me or about me. And sis, if I could just have a moment to just really just shout out and just thank our coalition of supporters, if I have your permission to do that, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I think we would be remiss to not share with everyone who does not know who stood with us and behind us and pushed me. There were times when I was discouraged and downtrodden, and my brother Vigilante, he would give me words of encouragement and motivation. But, you know, our sister here, Empress Chi, and her organization, they were one amongst our supporters. We had Vigilante. We had Ultraviolet, who was very instrumental in the Rick Ross and Reebok boycott. They were a part of it. Here in Chicago, we have Pastor Mike Flager, Father Flager here at St. Sabina, who's very vocal and active in Chicago and known around the country for his work and his effort to fight against the legislation of gun laws. We have National Action Network, Reverend Al Sharpton, who was working quietly behind the scenes with us before it became known. We have Victoria Pinnell, who's 13. She's a youth activist. You got to speak with her briefly the other night, sis. Very powerful little nation right there. Her mother, Mary Pinnell, who's a community activist. Keith Beauchamp, the filmmaker who did The Untold Story of Emmett Lewis Till. He also does The Injustice File. He's a big supporter of the family and stood with us. Another artist 360 Wise Guy, a.k.a. The Enforcer. He's another artist in the industry who came forth with Vigilante, like Vigilante, and gave us that support. Dr. Boyce Watkins in Your Black World, our brother Fred Hampton Jr., we all know him now. And Girls Like Me, you know, the Girls Like Me Project. And there were many, many, many others who galvanized behind and with us for this movement. And I just have to say, without their support, without your support, this would not have been made possible. I have to, at this moment, since I'm acknowledging people, I must acknowledge Tamita Davis, who is our development specialist, and Kimberly Wilson, who is my publicist. And I called them my angels. I said we were going to take a picture like Charlie's Angels because the three of us have burned the midnight oil and we have worked very steadfast and earnestly towards attaining this goal. And so they are serious sisters in the movement. I love them to death. And without them and their support, this would not have been possible.
All right.
Wonderful. So now it's up to the community, I think, now for us all to galvanize and continue the momentum and continue to push forward because I believe that this is a movement. You know, Emmett Till's death started the civil rights movement. When the world saw what they were doing and what they did, it stirred up an emotional movement in the hearts of black people. And I think what Lil Wayne, you know, really, really didn't realize what he was doing is he opened that casket again and showed the world the ugliness of racism and what happened to him. And it's a new day, so it's a new system of racism going on right now. And so it started a new movement. And I think, you know, again, his legacy is in stirring up movement.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's interesting because what tends to often happen is there are people in our history, in our lives, that trigger off, you know, other actions that need to happen. And just like the situation with Trayvon Martin, I mean, of course, there are many young black men who are murdered throughout the country. But sometimes it's just that one, for whatever reason, it's just that one that just sparks something off. And, you know, there are, again, other situations that happen where it just ends up being just that one spark. It needs to happen anyway, but it just takes that one spark for it to happen. So I think that's what has also maybe occurred in this situation. And, again, we're very, very thankful because we have been fighting this issue with the industry for the past 10 years and, you know, have been getting little results. It just seems that when it comes to it being the issue of exploitation and degradation of our women and girls, we just could not get people to be motivated over that. So hopefully now we'll be able to do that. We're still going to continue on the Black Women's Defense League, that is, to continue on monitoring and also doing the polls that we've been doing to try to identify what we call the 10 most degrading artists in the business. We've done polls on that in recent years, and, of course, Lil Wayne was on the list. So in preparing for the action, we now are going to move forward with that. So, again, family, on October 25th, we'll be presenting further action on what it is that the Million Woman Movement plans to do in terms of addressing some of these racist, some of these, it goes beyond racism, you know, in this day and age. That's what we dealt with. The focus point that we now say is attempted global white supremacy, okay, because they've advanced this thing to beyond racism. This is a global thing that they're looking at. When you look at the corporations, you look at how they are merging. When you look at how certain types of behavior is now being pushed into other countries. So there's a global thing that's going on in the attempt to monopolize and control people. And so, you know, we're said to be here in the belly of the beast. And so it behooves us here
to, you know, respond to this stuff as best as possible. So, again, you know, we are really thankful that we've had this victory, that we saw our people rise up again. But what we unfortunately know is that what we've seen over the years is that our people will rise up and then they go back to sleep.
Yeah, 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 comfortably numb, like I told you. But I want to chime in what you just said about the global thing. The greatest weapon of any enemy is if I can make you, your people, use my ideology. To me, that's the most strongest weapon they're using is, look what we're doing. We're not getting on a white guy for saying this about Emmett Till. We're getting on a black guy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's the greatest weapon. I'm not self-glossing nothing, but I want to say this. I put a thing called Scary Dream out. It was a poem. But basically, I got to the point. I was talking to a white man in the poem. I asked him, why don't you put crosses in the yard anymore? And he said, why would I need to put a cross in the yard if I can put a nigga in it? I ended with that, and people were like, why did you do that? I said, because the fact of the matter is, you know, back in the days, that was the symbolism. But they understand now that if you do that, you're going to unite us. The best way to defeat us is to divide us, not give us a spark to get together. And what happens is when things happen, like you said, Trayvon Martin thing, when that happened, I was right there. And I kept putting and posting, more than a fad. We got to stop treating stuff like it's a fad.
Right.
You know, everybody wore their hoodies. And where their hoodies at now? Nobody's wearing their hoodies for the young men that dies in Kansas City. You talking about females that die? I agree with you. We had a young lady last year by the name of Jaleesa Reed that was killed in a drive-by. Mm-hmm. They got one day of coverage, and that was it. And it touched my heart so much. That, you know, I did a song about her because I was like, nobody, they just forgot about her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, this 16-year-old girl that was vibrant, going to Swago High School, drive-by shooting in Kansas City, Missouri, one news story and that was it. No follow-up, did you find the killer? Nothing. We got to stop this. We have to really, the industry, the corporation is doing this. There's no balance. And I'm glad you are out there with the women movement for the balance, to push balance. Because I think until we start respecting ourselves and setting the trend, they are, like you said, it's about the numbers. Well, everybody's buying it. I put out a song called Beautiful Black Woman, dedicated to black woman, and a girl told me it was cool. I said, but it's uplifting you. It would have been better if you had to say a beautiful black bee. That's where we at. The ideology is embedded right now. And yeah, I know sometimes, sister, I know you watched the movie I Am Legend, right? Have you seen that movie? Look at you as being Will Smith. And the people that you're trying to reach are banging their head against that glass, even though you got the cure.
You know, it's interesting that you said a couple of things that just triggered some thoughts, and I want to read this to all of you. And family, thank you all for, you know, tuning in tonight. Our boards are really hot tonight. Brother Vigilante just said something about how the enemy is able to utilize us to do their work now. Let me read something to you that Stephen Biko said several years ago, and he's considered the father of black consciousness movement in South Africa. After looking at us here and being inspired by those freedom fighters here, he began to do things in South Africa to help end apartheid, and of course he was murdered, brutally murdered. Stephen Biko said, and this is a quote, "The most potent weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed," you see. The other thing that Stephen Biko said was, being black is not a matter of pigmentation. Being black is a reflection of a mental attitude, you see. And these things I say to all of us tonight because we've got to understand, and I think the brother also mentioned that we have got to function from our own mentality. not other people's, the way they want us to do things or the way they try to tell us we should and things of that nature. We have to be very careful of that in this day and age because we've seen it over the years. So, you know, again, I applaud both of you and appreciate both of you and love both of you for what you are doing and what I know you will do in the future. And, again, I hope that we can obtain, you know, your support in our work as we move forward.
Yes.
Even
yes.
though, you know, we don't play with these people. And that's our, and see, we're taught that whenever you try to do something that is really going to be effective to them or against them, they want to flip the script and make it seem like you're being negative or you're being non-productive or you know, something's wrong. And, you know, it's so interesting that they can do whatever they want to us in particular, and, you know, and it's okay. But there's cause and response. There's cause and effect, you see. And again, in this day and age, it behooves us to respond accordingly. So I'm just going to leave it at that and remind everyone that on next Saturday, if you're in Philadelphia, we're doing our kickoff rally for the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Women and Girls of African Descent. We have done this because most of the organizations, groups, or what have you, that address the issue of females or women's rights, as Sister Erica said, they are multicultural. It's all lumped in with one thing. And the one thing that we know about African women is we're the only ones that was kidnapped and brought here. Everybody else came here because they wanted to. So to address an issue that has a very distinct element and to try to lump that in with everybody else, it does it a disservice. So we realize that we've got to address this thing based on our history, our culture, and deal with it in a healing process that is indignant and in tune to who we are, not somebody else's program agenda. So, again, to our women in particular, we encourage you to please support the Black Women's Defense League because we're the only entity out there today on a national level that has the experience of both history, culture, et cetera, and apply that to the maladies of what's going on with our women and girls. So, you know, it just behooves us, and it makes sense to work with a group, an organization, an entity that is those people. Those other groups, their programs and all of that are mapped out by some other people. Even though they may have some Black folks up in there, we all know the majority of women's programs, and by the way, children's programs, the programming is coming from somebody else's textbook. So let's be real clear about what's going on. So the Million Women Movement does not seek corporate sponsoring. We've never gotten it, have never asked for it, have never sought it out. You know why? We don't have to answer to none of them for no way, shape, fashion, form, nothing. You see, they don't like that. They find real issues with that. But nevertheless, that's our position. So, again, for those who are in the Philadelphia area, please come out to our kickoff rally. It's a national campaign that we're launching. Myself, Chairman Fred, Brother Vigilante, we certainly invite you as well. We're going to be inviting Black Dot, Khalid Kweli, Common, several other artists that Chairman Fred is involved with. But we're going to also get, I'm going to get with some of the sisters, including MC Light.
Yeah.
Modi, all of them. We're going to start pulling some of these artists together for to hold town hall meetings, and other sessions to really focus on this issue of what's going on with the misogyny, with the women's situation within the industry.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
So we hope you will, you know, join us for that. We'll be giving you more information about that in the next couple of weeks because we're gearing up for June and going to make some clear statements that if these people don't clean up their act, just like I investigated PepsiCo and found all the products that they have, who knew that they produce Rice-A-Roni,
wow.
Tropicana, all the Quaker Oats stuff. Mm-hmm. They're coming out of PepsiCo.
And you know what else is coming out of PepsiCo?
What's this?
And it's you know that you're saying that one of my family members called and she was devastated because she said, "Oh, I can't eat grits anymore."
I need to have this link playing in Kansas City. They need to be hearing you. I'm serious. The sisters here need to hear you. Really. And the brothers, too.
When Sister Erica called, and Sister Erica would tell you, and I kept saying to Sister, okay, whatever you want, whatever you want to do, I'm supportive of it. But let me tell you what my position is. Did I not say that, Sister Erica?
Yes. Yes,
we urge the mayors to live for the love of people, Chuck D. I get it.
when I feel, again, you know, it's one of those things, I had so many great supporters behind me that whatever I needed and whatever frame of mind I found myself kind of falling into, I could just pick one. Oh, I better call Sister Empress today. She'll keep me going in that direction. Or, ooh, let me call Vigilante so he can fire me up. No. Yes.
It's all good, though. I mean, the thing is the dialogue, and the thing is what's sad about this all, we are beautiful people. We preach love.
That's,
you know?
Right.
It's all love, man. The black people, look at our culture, what we've been through. We, at the end of the day, we still love. And once you take love away, we're in trouble. Especially
that's
the love,
right,
for our people, our own people. When we're
absolutely
starting to hate each other, we are in trouble. And you know, I got an acronym for love. And I want you to hear this, sister. L-O-V-E, right?
Mm-hmm.
Letting one's values evolve. That's what we got to do.
All right. I like that, brother. I really do.
Yes, we got to do that.
All right, family. Well, again, I thank both of you for, you know, taking the time to join us tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear very shortly from a sister in Colorado who has been targeted by the police there, and we want to get her on and let her tell us about what's going on with her and her family. But again, I want to thank both of you for joining us tonight and providing us with, you know, this insight and information about, of course, what has now happened with Mountain Dew, PepsiCo pulling, you know, their whatever behind Lil Wayne. I can't wait to hear his response, family.
He's going to be mad. Hey, I want to make sure. Now, do you rebroadcast this? Because I'm going to put this on every link. I'm going to put this on your Black World.
Well, this is what you do, my brother, because all of our shows are taped.
Okay.
And what happens is, now we're live now, but once
okay.
we finish the show, it goes right into the archives. You
okay.
just go there with the date, and you can hear, and they can hear it anytime.
We're going to push it. We're going to debate about this one.
We have 5 years. 5 years of shows in the archives.
Well, I guess I got to do like you and start doing my research.
know, that's what, see, when you get to the point where fighting for our people, obtaining justice, and so forth becomes such an integral part of your life, you have to do that because you don't want to put out misinformation unnecessarily, and you want to, you know, make sure that what you're doing is based on truth and substance and things of that nature. So we're obligated to do that. And when, and the sisters and brothers, too, that I train, I make certain that they also, you know, do their homework. Don't
Amen.
Come to me with no half stuff because I'm going to check you.
Hey, I love that. Well, thank you, sister, once again, and thank you, Erica. You know I'll be talking to you and aggravating you tomorrow, but thank you, and I appreciate you, sister, and we gotta definitely get you in Kansas City.
Oh, by all means, brother. Once we have our reunion in October, I'll be going on national tours because we want to set up chapters in every city, and hopefully we can get a delegation from Kansas City to join us for the reunion. We had a large group that came in 97, so now we're kicking off our movement. And, oh, by the way, we're going to install 12 Sister Saints for our reunion this year, meaning we've selected 12 sisters that we are going to now have as our MWM Sister Saints. And every year we'll pay tribute to these 12 women, and we're going to keep doing that for the next 5 years. But we have our first 12, and this year we will officially install them into our sisterhood.
All right. We're with that then, sister. Like I said,
you know, whatever you need here in Chicago, sis, you know, you let me know now.
Oh, my sister, I thank you for that. And, hey, you know, I'm coming soon. We're coming soon.
I know.
With
I can't wait.
Absolutely.
Wait, because, you know, we're going to have us a good old time when you get here. Definitely.
You know that's right. You know that's right. All right, my sister and brother, I thank you again, and we'll be in touch. And, of course, you know, we're here every week, and we can do a show pretty much any time. So if something comes up, you need to get something on the airways, just let us know.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the support of our family.
Oh, no doubt. We would be negligent and a whole bunch of other stuff if we didn't. All right, my sister. Peace to
you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Okay, family, we've been just talking with Sister Erica Taylor. Of course, she is the director of the Mamie Till Mobley Foundation. Of course, she's the niece of Mother Mamie and the cousin to Emmett Till, and represents the Till family. You know, it's been a wonderful dialogue. We still are very elated to, you know, have this somewhat of a victory in regard to PepsiCo, Mountain Dew, pulling the plug on Lil Wayne. He just lost a lot of money. So that one little line lyric just cost him a bunch of money. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I mean, of course, we don't want to do things to our people. We don't want to see bad things happen to our people. I mean, we are just a loving people without them. I mean, truly, but when you do wrong, hey, you need your butt kicked. So let this be a lesson to Lil Wayne and to the rest of them. We're coming after you. If you think you're going to continue to degrade women and girls of African descent, you got another thing coming. We are not going to let up. So with that said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Sister Katie Fulton, who is going to tell us about what is going on, unfortunately, in her city of Colorado. Like other cities, you know, there's a bunch of stuff going on. I mean, we need to be real clear about that. All over the country, there's things going on. And if you're kind of in a area where there's not a lot of black folks or not a lot of groups or organizations or whatever, your story or what's happening to you might not get known. That's kind of what's going on now. So we'll be right back. And when we come back, we will be talking with Sister Katie Fulton, who is going to tell us about how her son and herself have been targeted there in Colorado,
and how we can possibly help, okay? We'll be right back. You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, Liberation. And again, my name is Empress Chi. We thank all of you for tuning in to this week's segment. Of course, we are now in the month of May, and we're calling this Marvelous May, as we focus on motherhood, morality, manhood, and of course, my eye. Absolutely. The brother talked earlier about balance. Yep, we definitely need some balance. And that's what we do here in New Day, and that is, of course, what the universal movement of the Million Woman March is about, bringing you a new day, because, hey, some of the days that we've been seeing is some days that we need to definitely get rid of or whatever. So, again, we thank all of you for tuning in to this segment, and please continue to let others know about our program. Before we go back to our live line and talk to Mrs. Fulton, we want to give you a few of the upcoming calendar events that's going to be taking place. Some are here in Philly, and some are going to be in Washington, D.C. For example, here in Philly on June 1st, we're going to have an Oldies But Goodies and African Rhythms Dance and Black Business Networking Social. If you know how to bop, cha-cha, slop, strand, line dancing, and more, then you want to check out this event on June 1st at 8:30. The doors are open, and 9 o'clock, we're ready to begin. And that's going to happen at the Shanghai City Cultural Center, which is located at 3117 Master Street here in Philadelphia. Again, that'll be on June the 1st. Another event, of course, we mentioned coming up on Saturday. And that, of course, is next Saturday, May the 11th. Here in Philly again, the Enough is Enough rally. It's a kickoff rally for our national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. There's never been a campaign like it. So we encourage, especially the sisters, to please become either an active or support member. Please give us a call, or rather send us an email, at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Again, we really need assistance to become either support or active members of the Black Women's Defense League. A support member just means you make a contribution, you make a donation. Because, again, we don't seek out the corporate money. We don't get grants. We're not looking for it. We could get it, by the way. In fact, there's been a few people who have tried to push it on us. But we said, no, that's okay, because we are not going to be compromised. We are not going to get caught up in a position where we have to go, well, we can't say this or we can't do that. So we don't take their money, okay? We need your support, though. If you want to be a active member, then that means you'll be doing some work to help in this movement, in our efforts. So, again, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also reach us at MWM Sisterhood, which is spelled SISTAHOOD, at AOL.com. Let's see, July. In July, from July 26th to July 28th here in Philadelphia, we will be holding the African Reparations Restitution and Restorative Justice Conference. We use this word, restorative justice, by the recommendation of Dr. Randy. We said we would go ahead and start using that because it does make sense.
But again, July 26th, 28th, to the 28th, and it's a tribute to Queen Mother Moore and Mother Callie House. Moving on to August, of course, Black August. We'll be doing some film showings and so forth during Black August, but also we hold the BBBCO Conference and Holistic Health Expo. The BBBCO, of course, is the conference for beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists. BBBCO. It's one of the new national associations under the MWM umbrella, and we'll be bringing together Black beauticians and barbers and cosmetologists here in Philly and then on a national level. To begin to really focus on building our community. Lastly, September, the Black Women's Power and Pre-Political Convention Forum will be introducing the Million Woman Party and some other things. Again, from September the 15th to the 21st here in Philly. This is just the first round of sessions because by the time that president election comes again, oh, this will be ready. But even before then, it's time that we run some new candidates in some of these cities. And so we're going to prepare for that. Of course, October, our reunion. So for the whole month, we'll be doing various things. But, of course, on October 25th, we'll be in front of the Justice Department. We charge genocide. There's a rally for justice, October 25th, in front of the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, on October 26th, it's the Million Woman March Sweet 16 reunion. For those who attended in 97, it's a time for us to reunite, reconnect, recommit. For those who did not attend, this is your chance to be a part of history in the making and now the launching of our international movement. So, but that's it. If you want more information again, please feel free to give us a call. 267-636-3802, preferably an email, and that's at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, we're Black. We're going to get ready now to go back to our live line. And again, recently I got a telephone call from a sister. And, you know, we get a lot of calls, a lot of inquiries about various types of things that are happening to our people, to our women and girls in particular. And our responsibility here at New Day is to bring you information and to share with you some of the stories and some of the issues that we hear, because we know that nobody else is going to be putting them out to you for the most part. Oftentimes, unless you aren't connected to something or somebody or whatever, if something's going on in your community or in your life, you will get no attention. So we're very committed here at New Day to try to be, you know, one of those tools, one of those instruments. You know, we learned that from people like Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, who is known as the voice of the voiceless, as I've told many people on a few occasions that I knew Mumia before they tried to kill him and loved him and admired him and knew his work. So, you know, we will continue on with the legacy and the work of our brother and certainly others, and we'll be talking more about that as well. But for now, we're going to get ready to go back to our live line, and we're going to talk with Sister Katie Fulton, who is going to be joining us from Colorado. She's going to share what is going on with her and particularly with her son. And you see, again, we know that our men have always been under attack. But this is also relevant to the fact that this is a strong Black woman. And this is a black woman who has been vocal in her life in dealing with issues and injustices and so forth and so on. And we all know that, you know, sometimes that can have a backlash. So when that happens, we got to step up and be as supported as we can be. So without further ado, we're going to go back to our live line, and we're going to hear from Sister Katie Fulton, who is going to tell us about what is going on with herself and her family. And family, of course, if there is someone in that area who can possibly give her some support, or if you're not in that area, we're going to give you information as to how you can get in contact with her or get in contact with us here at New Day on the Black Women's Defense League, and, you know, perhaps try to provide whatever assistance that can possibly be rendered. So without further ado, let's go back to our live line. And we should have Mrs. Fulton joining us right about now. Mrs. Fulton, do I have you on our line?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, certainly. So what we're going to do is give you the mic, and feel free to share with us what has happened to you, or your son, to you, and why?
I'd say 30 days ago to the very date, on April 4th, 2013, local law enforcement officials entered my apartment with a passkey. Early in the morning, I was still in my nightgown and bed slippers, and they ordered me at gunpoint out of my home. And I realized, with 8 or 9 or 10 of them invading, it was appropriate and wise for me to follow directions, and I did leave my place of residence. I walked outside in my nightgown. They entered at gunpoint and continued to search and seize and look in every room, consistently asking for my son. Is he here? Is he here? I said, no, no one is here but me. It's a two-bedroom apartment. So after proceeding through every closet, every bedroom, behind every door, they concluded that I was, in fact, home alone. I was sitting outside for a few minutes because I was a bit dizzy, not having my medication yet. And I asked them if I could please have my medication off the counter. They said, well, you're not coming back in here. So they got my medication, handed it to me outside on the ground with a cup of water, and I sat there and I took it. And I watched them. At one point, they went into the dishwasher, the cabinets, my son's bedroom, and they began to confiscate everything that seemed to be electrical. They took the computers, phone, camera, personal papers, whatever at their discretion. And I had no help. And they kept saying to me, can you go someplace? Can you leave? I said, I have no place to go. Well, my family's on the East Coast. They said, well, you need to leave here because we're going to be here for a while. I said, how long do you think you might be? They said, well, a few hours at least. And we'll be here until we're ready to leave. So I began to get a little chilly. And I said, well, can I go in and get something to put on? So they used one of the female officers. There were two female officers, and she followed me into the restroom and watched me put on my underclothes and my skirt and top. So she escorted me back outside. And as I was walking outside, again, this is one young man behind me says, don't stop to pick up anything. Don't stop to pick up anything. It was a loaf of bread that was on the floor, and I was just going to pick it up so I wouldn't squash it or step on it. There were empty boxes inside because I've been living out of boxes for the last few months with intent of moving to a new job, hoping and praying that something would come through because we have been searching and searching. My son and I have been in Colorado since 1998. He graduated with honors from Englewood High. He's never been in trouble with the law. He's been very respectful and very supportive in my home. He has been designated as my caregiver. I'm 65 years of age. He helps with medication, preparation of meals, shopping and doing whatever needs to be done to sustain our family. And I said to them, he is not here. And they said, why is the TV on in his room if he's not here? I said, well, I was just changing his room and the top of his sheets so that I could do some laundry later this afternoon. That's why the TV was on there, because I didn't need to have two TVs. Well, the TV doesn't need to be on if he's not here. So I said, well, can I have an indication, please, as to when am I going to get back into my home? They said, well, not right now. We're going to be here for a while. And as they began to bring bags and bags and bags of things out, and I watched them, I asked some of the people, I said, can I have a card, please, so I'll know who you are? The young man in charge, he said he was the sergeant or the detective. They gave me a card. The others did not give me a card. They just came in at their discretion and walked around and walked out. And when they got through, that group got through doing whatever they wanted to take and search and confiscate. They called in the second group. And they said, well, you can come now. We're inside. So they walked past me into my home as well. And the second group came in from Arapahoe County. The first group was from Douglas County. The second group continued the search and seizure, taking items at their discretion, without giving me any kind of cards or indications of any kind of notice. And I said, well, do you have a warrant? The second group says, no, we do not have a warrant, but you cannot come back in here. And I said, well, something is wrong. I said, something is definitely wrong. He said, well, we're waiting for a warrant to be delivered to us. Until then, you have to stay outside. So I stayed outside, and then I walked to the corner store to use a public phone to try and call someone for help, if they could please help me understand what was going on and if I could get some assistance, because something was happening very wrong in my place of residence. I realized at that point that there was a community that was silent. They understood that I was being treated unfairly for whatever reason, but they could not afford to put themselves at risk to help me. So they put their head in the sand. So I then understood very clearly that if I had gotten shot or killed, that you and others would never know the truth, because that would not never be released to you. Nonetheless, I asked for the key off the wall at one point. I said, can I have that key, please? I was pointing back inside, and they began to close the door because I had visual preference. They didn't want me to see. So they closed the door in my face, and then talked among themselves. And then when they opened the door back, and they said, what key do you want? And I said, I'd like to have the key there, please, that's on the corner. And they said, the key, the one with pepper spray on it? I said, well, it only has a pepper spray for a form of identification. That's been on there for 1995 or something. I've never used it. They said, well, you're definitely not getting that. You're not going to get that pepper spray. I said, well, that's okay. I said, I just need the key off of that hook, because if you close the door and I'm on the corner with the phone, I won't be able to get back into my apartment. So sure enough, they continued to do the same thing. The second group did the same thing. Please understand, my son and I have never been a problem to the Colorado community. We have been productive, law-abiding citizens. As I said before, this young man graduated with honors from Englewood High School, and he was recruited into the University of Colorado at Boulder, into the Minority Engineering Program. And he went into the program. He stayed at Colorado University, University of Colorado at Boulder. He finished. He completed his studies. And I don't think that they really expected him to finish. And after finishing there, he realized that he could pick some additional courses for the program that he wanted to get into. So he went back and picked up some more courses in the local community to assess and assist with the bachelor's degree that he has. I completed my studies at the University of Colorado in Denver. And I feel as though my work entail working with families of need, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, anyone who needed service, I was there to assist them. My son and I have taken bags of groceries, bags of clothes, taken people to the hospital when they needed, assisted whatever we could to show that we were a part of the community. But for now, we have no way of communicating or accessing anything because I'm resourcefully constrained without a computer. I have to go out and buy another phone just to be able to communicate with anyone who could be willing to help. So as you said earlier in your program, the oppressor's goal is to really and truly seize and understand your mind. There's something about my son and I that threatens them. And I've known this for years, but no one really and truly could comprehend my experience. I've been trying to share that we have been profiled, undermined, harassed by local law enforcement for years. And the young people and the stores, they don't work unless they report. You have to be willing to report to law enforcement what we see, what we do, what left we turn, what we buy. And if you don't know how to do that, you're not going to work in Colorado.
Hey, Ms. Fulton, for some reason your voice is starting to be muffled, so I'm not
think
sure
that
what
maybe,
you, okay,
at one
you're
point,
better.
At one point, thank you, at one point, young people came to me and explained to me that they know that I'm targeted, they know that I'm being harassed, they know that I'm being profiled, but they can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't help me, and I understand that. I have worked with children since I was 13 years old, and I've never abused a child. I have been licensed to teach since 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And my graduate studies is in counseling psychology. I have done 5 internships in the state of Colorado, working with families and working with indigent. Not 1 or 2 internships, but 5. I've done them successfully under professors' supervision as well as under the supervision of other professionals who are in the field. So they know that I am willing and able to work. But what they're saying is that you can work as long as you work for free. But if you want to just going to pay money, we're going to make it hard for you. So my son and I have been constantly looking for employment that pays in our profession, someone who's willing to take a chance and work with us. But at this point, we're now struggling, fighting for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because my son
now,
has been.
Go ahead.
My son has
but
been
now,
targeted as well as me because he's with me and supporting me.
Right. So now let us move into what has presently happened and the fact that your son is now facing some charges.
Right. This is what they said. They wanted to find anything on the computer that they could build against him on. So he's not in the street. He's not in a gang. He doesn't even have a whole lot of interaction outside. He loves to be in the library. He loves to use the computers. He loves to research and read. And he just is an intellectual person and has been because of his experience. Because of his experience, he has learned to read, write, and be independent. And the computer has helped him connect with people that he thinks could help him or people that he thinks could support him or understand or even research. I mean, I don't have to tell you, even if he applies to school, all the application process now is online.
Mm-hmm.
I use the computer basically for writing because I do a lot of writing. Mm-hmm. And I have to do research and I have to document my credits, what they call the CEU credits. Once you are certified in a particular field, they expect you to continue your studies and all of my documentation is on my computer. All the books, all the papers, all the correspondence in Word are on the computer. So throughout their search of my home, they found no guns, no drugs, no body parts, no illegals. And at this point, they are slamming my son in three different counties at the same time. They want to make sure that they destroy this young man's future. And he needs help. I'm doing the best I can to encourage him to be strong and not give up hope, because I know someone out there understands that this young man of color deserves a little bit better than what he's getting in Colorado.
So at this point, he has been arrested. He has not been given a lawyer, an attorney, a representation. And he has a hearing coming up. Is that correct?
Yes, he does. He's going before the judge on May 16th.
Now, just so we are clear, we need to let people know what he's been charged with. And, you know, again, family, we have to be very clear about the fact that what we've heard Ms. Fulton say is that, I mean, this young man has had no record of any type. You know, they have lived a certain type of life, you know, and it's just really interesting what he's now being charged with.
Well,
go ahead.
Yes, he could be charged with. He could be charged as a sex offender because they found porn on the computer. If porn is on the computer, they could write it this way or they could write it that way. But see, I'm not into porn.
Right.
And I know that others have had access to my home and my computer. As surely as you saw them walk in with a pass key, others have walked into my place of residence with a pass key for the past 10-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
I have found things missing. I knew they were in here when I was not here. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I don't care how junky your home is. I don't care how junky your bedroom is. You know when somebody else has been in it. And they have been coming in and out at their discretion.
Wow. And see, we have to also let people know that in certain states, pornography on your computer can lead to a felony charge.
Yes, yes, yes. And there's no doubt in my mind that they would like very much for this young man to be so beaten down and so discouraged. Keep in mind, he's always been a law-abiding citizen. He spent 7 years in Boulder on the campus. He had the same lifestyle that he has now. You know, go to the library, go to the dorm, go to meals, interact with the students. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't rape anybody, didn't backtalk to anybody, respected his professors. His professors taught him, understood him, remembers him. And understand that he really and truly wants very much to work and be a professional and make a contribution to society. He has no desire to hurt anybody. As I said before, he's been very respectful and supportive in my home. I've had no problems with this young man. None. And I know that he is targeted as surely as I am for destruction.
Okay, when is the next hearing?
May 16th. May 16th.
And presently, you, of course, do need an attorney because at this point in time, none has been appointed, which, again, is kind of strange because, you know, supposedly based on the Constitution, one is entitled to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, they appoint one for you. So this has not happened yet.
He really does need some help, and I think that the only thing I can do right now is to try very hard to find someone who has the heart, the skill, a character and understanding to reach out and see that this young man is possibly worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. My goal is to save him and to try and help him move on in a positive manner with his life. As a 65-year-old Black American female, I know the hate. I've lived it. I've lived through it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be invisible, to have them look right through you, knowing that you need help. But the community here in Colorado, many of them know me. They know my face. They know my work. They know that I've made a contribution, and I'm willing to work.
Okay. All right, well, we only have a few more minutes left. So, Mrs. Fulton, please give out your, if you'd like, your telephone number, and or if you would prefer for folks to contact us, we can do that as well.
I appreciate that, sister. And as I said, as I shared before, I have no other means at this moment other than my phone, the phone that I had to invest in since they confiscated the other phone. They confiscated
right.
my cell phone and my computer. So my although I'm still AOL, that I have no access to my computer.
Okay.
So the phone number that anyone would be willing to call would be 720-499-5146.
Mm-hmm.
A message phone would be 720-221-8500.
Okay.
I ask for your prayer. I ask for your support. But I do stand in the need of prayer tonight.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Fulton. Well, what we will do is for next Saturday, we will, give folks an update. I'll be talking with you later on in the week and make sure that people have an update. And we'll also continue to give out the number. And again, family, if there's someone listening that is either in the Colorado area or not, if there is some way that you think you might be able to be helpful to Ms. Fulton, then please give her a call at area code 720-499-5746.
5146, sister.
I'm sorry, 5146. Okay. All right, Ms. Fulton, well, thank you so much. And we'll continue this dialogue, and certainly as we get to the trial date or the hearing date and thereafter. So, we'll stay on top of things, okay?
I appreciate your help. I appreciate your talking. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. And, again, I'll be talking with you later on in the week. I will call you.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye to you. Peace to you. Okay, family, again, we were just talking with Mrs. Katie Fulton, and if you have any questions or comments or what have you, feel free to contact us via email as well, nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We have a few more minutes left, and I certainly want to make sure that I mention to you that there is an African Liberation Day that's coming in D.C. It's going to happen from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock on, whoops, where's the date here? Okay, I should know, May 25th, okay? And it's put on, of course, by the APRP, the General Council, and I don't have Brother number, but send me a email at nationalmwm@aol.com, and I'll send you more information, and we'll be talking more about it next week also, so we'll keep you abreast. Well, family, unfortunately, we've come down to the last minute of our program, and we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Mod and Hotep, and of course, that means that there certainly cannot be any real peace, any real Hotep, without my eyes. We also remind you, we're living on the front lines.